Many of the ideas that I'll be sharing with you today come from the Sefarim of Rabbi Yisrael, Yaakov Yisrael Ugassi. Rashi brings down in Hosea, Perek Gimel, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, En mar'in siman tov liYisrael, ad shiyishalu shelosha debarim. The Jewish people will not receive the final Ge'ulah until we request three things: Malchut Shamayim, Malchut Bet David, uBet HaMikdash. The Ge'ulah will only come when we desire it. If we have a Ratzon for Hashem to be our King and live amongst us, Ge'ulat Misraim, when we were redeemed from Egypt, Hashem gave it to us as a gift. He lifted us up even though we didn't deserve it, because afterwards we would have time to build ourselves up and achieve a high level. But after the final Ge'ulah, the Pasuk says, "Umale'a ha'aretz de'a et Hashem." Hashem will be clear to all. There will be no more opportunity to grow, no opportunity to improve ourselves, and therefore the Ge'ulah has to come from us, from our yearning. Now is the chance. Our job in this world is to be Mevakesh Hashem, like we read this morning, U'bikashta misham et Hashem Elokecha. You should seek out Hashem your God, U'masata, and you will find Him. When? Ki tidreshenu b'chol lebavecha u'b'chol nafshecha. When you seek Him out with all of your heart and soul. But how could we yearn for Hashem when we don't even know who He is? You know, a man came over to me, a 65-year-old man with a long white beard. He looked like a rabbi, and he said, "I've been learning my entire life. I went to yeshiva, I learned Gemara, but nobody ever taught me anything about Hashem. I never learned about who Hashem is. And now for the first time in my life, I'm beginning to learn through Emunah, through Bitachon. And life has been so beautiful ever since." If we would know who Hashem is, we would drop everything and subjugate ourselves to Him 100%. But our job is to discover. Hashem in His infinite wisdom disguised Himself so well in the world to the point that a person could live his entire life and never recognize Hashem even once. Oh, but how much would he be missing out in life? Life without Hashem is a deprived life, a life devoid of any real happiness. If we would only know who Hashem is, how much He loves us, how much He wants us, we'd be running. I read a story told over by a rabbi, Baruch Medan. The rabbi was in Israel in a hospital, Tel Shomrim, visiting Bikur Holim a few days before Rosh Hashanah. And the hour was late, it was 11 o'clock, he was getting ready to leave. And one of the nurses motioned to him, "Please come right away. There's a man in this room, an old man, he's holding by Yesi'at Neshama, he's about to go, and there's nobody with him. He's a religious man. Why don't, Rabbi, come sit with him." The rabbi said, "Of course." The rabbi walks into the room. He sees an old, frail man saying Tehillim. And he sees Shin Galas was his name. And he asked him, he said, "Do you have a wife?" The man said, "No." "Do you have any children?" The man said, "No." "Do you have any relatives?" He said, "I have one relative, and I'm speaking to him right now. Please leave me alone. The rabbi couldn't leave him. He started. He was just waiting there in the room. And then all of a sudden, the man changed his tune. He says, "Why am I telling you I don't have any children? I have a child. I have one son. My precious David." And tears started swelling up in his eyes. And he made it like his son was right in front of him, David. And he said, "Oh, my beloved David, remember when I sent you to learn when you were younger? You were so diligent. You studied day and night. Mommy used to tell you, why don't you go out and play with your friends? Why don't you go play some games? Why are you studying all the time?" And you said, "Daddy, tell mommy that all I want to do is study Torah. And I taught you how to sing your Gemara. You were learning Elu Misiyot. And you were singing Elu Misiyot Shelo Ve'elu Chayav La'achriz. You were so smart. The seventh graders used to come over you when you were in second grade to ask you questions. Everything was so wonderful about you until that day. That day when we got that dreadful phone call from the hospital. And they called us to come in. And they told mommy the bad news, that she's not doing well. And she came home that day, her face was pale. And she said, this time she didn't tell you to go play with your friends. She did not tell you to go play games. She said, 'David, I'm in trouble. I have a terrible sickness. Please learn for me. Pray for me. I have to go to Chutz La'aretz for treatments.' And David, in your innocence, you said, 'Don't worry, mommy. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to learn for you. Hashem's going to make you better.' And mommy went for treatments. But 3 weeks later, the doctors told us she's not doing well. It doesn't look like she's going to make it. And the phone rang one day. I was too scared to pick it up, but you picked it up, David. And it was mommy. And you said, 'Mommy, I have to tell you a secret. All of my strength comes from you. I'm only able to learn when you're around. I need you, mommy. Please come back.' And your mother told you she's going to come back. But she never came. A week later, they got the bad news. And from your first Kaddish, I saw the life was sucked out of you. You didn't want to say Kaddish. It was cold. You had a cold feeling towards the religion. You did not want to listen in school anymore. I was telling you to learn. You didn't want to learn. I was telling you to pray. You didn't want to pray. But David, I didn't know how to handle you. I was yelling at you. And I said, you have to be religious. You have to go back to the way you used to be. But then you got mixed up with the wrong friends. And you were doing terrible things. And you wouldn't listen no matter what I said. I couldn't bear it. And I sent you to live with somebody else. And you became so bad. Yes, I had a son. And he became such a rasha." And then he said, "Oh, David, it wasn't your fault. It was my fault. I didn't know how to deal with it. In the time that I was supposed to be your mother and your father, I failed. Oh, David, I loved your singing. Elu Misiyot Shelo Ve'elu Chayav La'achriz. David, it's all my fault. You went off the path because of me. I want to tell you how much I love you. And I want to tell you that it was my fault." And he tells the rabbi, "I want to call my son right now." And the rabbi gives him the phone and he calls up his son. His son is in America. He looks like a goy. He married a goya. He had 5 children with her. He's a very wealthy businessman. He happens to be on the phone haggling over a price for a diamond for his wife's birthday. It's 11:57 Israel time p.m. and he gets a phone call, but he doesn't even pay attention to the ring, to the click. He's arguing about price, and it's ringing and ringing and ringing, and he doesn't pick up. The man says, try him one more time. After he says, I want to try him one more time. After he dials the third button, he passed away. And the rabbi picks up the phone and he calls his son. This time he picks up the phone. He says, is this David Galas? He says, my office is closed now. I'm not talking to anybody. He says, I'm calling from Israel. I'm sorry to inform you. Your father just passed away. The funeral will be in 24 hours. He says, okay, I'm coming immediately. And David came, and the rabbi was still there with the body. And David walks in, he looks like a goy. He says, Rabbi, tell me something. Was my father learning Gemara before he passed away? Was he learning that Gemara that he used to learn with me? And he starts singing, Elu misiyot shelo ve'elu chayav la'achriz. The rabbi said, I never heard such a beautiful melody from someone who looked like that. And I told him, no, he was not learning Gemara. Rabbi, was he praying? I remember those beautiful tefillot he taught me, and he started singing tefillah. The rabbi said he sounded like a beautiful hazan at Ne'ilah Yom Kippur. He said, no, he wasn't praying either. Was he saying Shema? Did he make vidui? He said, no, all he was doing was talking about you, me. He was saying how much he loved you, how much he wanted to speak to you. He felt bad, and he tried to call you. He tried to call me. What time did he call me? It was 11:57. He said, oh, I was on the phone with that guy with the diamond. He takes the diamond out of his pocket and he throws it on the floor. He said, if I knew my father was calling, I would have thrown away the whole diamond in a second. He said, Daddy, I want to hear you one more time. Daddy, sing that beautiful song to me. Elu misiyot shelo ve'elu chayav la'achriz. Daddy, sing to me those beautiful tefillot. Daddy, I would have traded in my whole life if I knew you wanted me. It's a very sad story. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, calls to us every single day. He wants us so badly, but we don't even realize it. We don't know. We go live different lives. We don't know. If we would know, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, if we would know how much love Hashem had for us and how much He wanted us, we would roar like a lion with Ahava and chase after Him. But we misjudge him. At the time of the Khorban, Hashem was crying, Oy li she'heravti et beti. He said, where are my children? Where are my Kohanim, my Levi'im, my Yisraelim? Hashem wanted nothing more than to be close to us. Chazal tell us, he had a ta'ava lihiyot lo dira betachtonim. He wanted to live amongst us, but we chased him away. David HaMelech understood. David HaMelech understood that it was done with love when he sang a song, Mizmor le David. When he said, Elohim, ba'u goyim benachdach, he sang a song about the goyim coming in and destroying the Beit HaMikdash. Why was he singing a song, the rabbis say? Because David knew that Hashem gave us our kapara on His home rather than destroying us. It's always love. But we misjudge Him. We go through tough times. We say, where is Hashem? I don't see Him. Where's the love? And we go the other way, but we misjudge Him. If we would only know. The Jewish people at the time of the Khorban, after the Khorban, they said, Vatomer Sion Azavani Hashem Vahashem Shechechani. They said, Hashem abandoned us and He forgot about us. But listen to what Hashem told them back. Hashem told them back, Hatishkach Isha Ula Merachem Ben Bitna. Could a pregnant woman forget about the fetus that's inside of her? Not only didn't I forget you, but the way that I think about you is not like you think. I don't need to remember you because you are a piece of me. But the pasuk says far further, gam ele tishkahna. Even a pregnant woman could forget for a second that she's carrying a fetus. But Hashem says, ve'anochi lo ishkahech. But I can never forget. My connection to you is so much deeper and so much closer than that of a fetus to its mother. But you can never understand. But the truth is, Yisrael v'kudsha berichu hadhu, we're one and the same. Bechol saratam lo sar, when a Jew is in pain, Hashem is in pain. When a Jew is in distress, ma shechina omeret, kalani meroshi, kalani mizro'i. When the Jews were exiled to Babel, the Zohar writes, Hashem called to his Pamalia Shalmala, he called to the heavenly angels and said, Kumu Hutu, get up. We're all going down to Babel with them. Imo anochi bitzara. Do we know how much Hashem cares about us? We have no idea. The Gemara says in Masechet Erchin, Adhechan Tachlita Yesurin. What is the smallest amount of suffering that God considers afflictions? We all know the famous example when a man puts his hand into his pocket to take out 3 coins and he only takes out 2 and he has to put his hand back into his pocket again. You know what happens when that happens to a person? Hashem says, oh, my poor child. You had to stick your hand back into your pocket again. I'm erasing your sins. I'm giving you kaparat avonot. That's how much Hashem cares about our inconveniences. The great Rav Yisrael Salanter, he once had an audience with the queen. This was at a time when she had her first child after 30 years of having no children. And she said, Rabbi, I want to tell you about this boy that I had. I love him to pieces. My life's goal now is to make sure that he never suffers for 1 second of his life. I'm going to have bodyguards by him, slaves by him, everyone at his beck and call. So the rabbi said, my queen, do you mind if I ask you a question? What if one day your son puts his hand into his pocket to pull out a tissue and he put his hand in the wrong pocket? How are you going to stop that from happening? How are you going to stop that inconvenience? So the queen says back, Rabbi, I'm not talking about that. That's regular life. That wouldn't bother me if my son had to do that. When the rabbi left the palace, he looked up to Shamayim and he said, Hashem, look how much you love us. A queen, after 30 years of having no children, she doesn't care if her son puts his hand in the wrong pocket, and you care if we do. Hashem is always there for us, no matter how difficult the time is. He'll never leave us. In 1988, a massive earthquake nearly flattened Armenia, killing 25,000 people in less than 4 minutes. And in the midst of the chaos and devastation, a father ran to the school that his son was in and he saw the building had collapsed. After the initial shock and trauma, the father remembered the promise that he once made his son, that he would always be there for him, no matter what happened. With tears in his eyes, he surveyed the rubble, and he tried to remember where he brought his son each morning to class. He realized the classroom was in the back right corner of the building, And he rushed there and he started digging through the rubble. The other parents said, "What are you doing? It's over. What are you doing over here?" And he told them, "Are you going to help me? If you're not going to help me, then just move on." Then he continued to dig. The fire chief came. The fire chief said, "It's too dangerous for you over here. You have to leave." He said, "I'm not going anywhere. My son is here. If you're not going to help me, move on." Then the chief of police came. He says, "You've got to leave." He says, "I'm not going." And he kept digging. And he sat there digging for 12 hours, for 24 hours, for 36 hours, digging through the rubble. And after 38 hours, he pulled back a large boulder and he heard his son's voice. He yelled his son's name out and he heard his son say back, "Daddy, it's me. I knew you were coming. I told all the other children not to worry. My father promised me he would always be there for me." It turned out when the building collapsed, it made a wedge like a triangle, and 14 people were saved, including his son. This is how we have to feel about Hashem. No matter what type of rubble we're under, Hashem is always there for us. The love is not to be believed. The Pasuk says in Shira Shirim, "Hasebi einayich menegdi shehem hirhivuni." And the Zohar HaKadosh explains, Hashem tells the Jewish people, "Turn your eyes a little away from me. Because if you look at me directly in the eyes, kaviyachol, I will melt from being overcome with love. It says I will be burnt with your stare from ahava. I love you so much. Harini et marayich. I want to see your beautiful face. Hashmi'ini et kolech, ki kolech nave, or arev kolech nave." If we only knew the love, if we only knew, we would go to him in a second. The Arve Nahal writes, Hashem in Shamayim has millions of angels. He has seraphim, ve'ofanim, ve'hayot ha-kodesh, singing his praises all day long. But when one Jew opens his mouth to say a praise, Hashem silences every angel and says, "Shh, I want to hear what my precious son is saying now." The Midrash in Parashat Be'ha'alot Echa asks the question, why does Hashem ask for us to light the menorah? The menorah is a little small light. Why does God need our light? The Pasuk says in Daniel, God has all the light in the world. V'nahara imeh shareh. He has all the lights. What does he need our lights for? And the Midrash goes on to say, Hashem tells us, Posel ani et kol orot shebaolam. I disqualify every light in the world. Ve'eni mishtamesh ela b'shelach. All I want is your little light. That gives me more satisfaction than anything else I have. It says in Pirkei Avot, when a Jew sits down to learn Torah, Shekhinah kenegdo, the Shekhinah comes to sit with him. Why? Because it gives Hashem so much pleasure to see us learning. He wants to come and watch. Why does Hashem want us to follow His Torah? Why does He want us to follow the Torah and Mitzvot? Because He needs slaves? He doesn't need anything. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have the happiest life, both in this world and the next. There is nothing in the world that could compare with being close to God. Like David HaMelech said, Va'ani kirvat Elokim litov. Just give me closest to Hashem, that's all I need. No matter how far a person has strayed, Hashem still loves them. Somebody told me, they said they went off the derech, They were in this city for many years, totally disconnected from the community. They did the worst averot. And they said, I want to come back now, but I don't know if Hashem wants me. I told them, you know how much Hashem wants you? It says in the Tana de Be'eliyahu, Yoter mima shehaisha mehaka leba'ala, more than a woman who's awaiting her husband to come home from a long trip, more than she longs for her husband, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Umsapeh LeBen Adam Shiaseh Teshuvah. Hashem is standing and waiting. I can't wait for you to come back to me, no matter what you did. He's standing there waiting with open arms, Kaviyachol. People are down on themselves. They think it's the Yetzer Hara telling you, you're nothing, he doesn't want you. He wants you. Believe me, he wants you no matter what. A man came to Rabbi Lugassi. He said, my children, I have two children who went off the derech. And I spend my days and nights trying to bring them back. And nothing I say works. It's bringing me such busha. I'm putting in all of my strengths. Why is God doing this to me? What is God gaining from all of this anyway? So the rabbi tells him, your first problem is, your first mistake is, that you think you're crying for your children alone. But it says, Ko amar Hashem kol berama nisa, Rachel mevaka al banea lenachem al banea ve'enenu. And the Slach explains, the Shekhinah is crying over his children that are not here. What do you mean they're not here? We're here. He's crying over his children that are not here spiritually. He's crying, I wish they would come back to my Torah. Hashem is crying over each one of them. He's with you. He wants them back more than you do. And Hashem never gives up on anybody. A boy once got thrown out of his yeshiva. And he went, tried to get back in many times. They wouldn't let him in. So he went to the Klosenberger Rebbe. And he said, Rabbi, please get me back into yeshiva. So the Rebbe said, send your Rosh, please call your Rosh Yeshiva to come to me. And the Rosh Yeshiva, he said, why'd you throw him out? He said he was doing this, 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 and this. He said, don't worry, he promised he's going to be better. Let him back in. He said, Rabbi, I heard that 100 times. I'm not buying it anymore. I'm not letting him back in. And the rabbi started trembling. And he grabbed his long white beard. And he said, I am an old man. I lived many years. And thousands of times I promised Hashem I would be better. And I didn't keep my word. So should I stop living? Give him another chance. When we know how much Hashem loves every single Jew, it should lead us to love them also. We are Hashem's crown and glory. Yisrael asher becha et pa'ar. One of the questions a person's going to be asked at the end of 120 is, Himlachta et konecha vehimlachta et haberecha. Did you crown Hashem king? And did you crown your friend king? We understand why one of the questions is, did you crown Hashem king? But why is your friend on that list of questions? The rabbis tell us, how can we tell if you truly crowned Hashem king in your life? Many people, they believe in Hashem. They believe in Him enough to keep Shabbat. It's very difficult, but they do it. They believe in Him enough to keep kashrut. They believe in Him enough to pray and study Torah. But they don't believe in Him enough to fulfill all of His mitzvot. They don't believe in Him to keep the mitzvah of Lo tisnat achicha bilbabecha. Don't hate your friend in your heart. Lo tikom velo titor. Don't bear a grudge and don't take revenge. How many people stumble? It's a commandment from the Torah. I can't stand that guy anymore. Him, I wrote him off 10 years ago. You know what he did to me? Who do you think the Torah is talking about when it says, Lo tisnat achicha bil babecha? Someone who didn't do something to you? Hashem says, forgive him. People make mistakes. Don't make him suffer his whole life because of it. But he made me suffer. Give in anyway. People have a yetzer hara. Let it go. And some people are content on just not hating. I'll be cordial. When I see him, I'll smile and shake his hand. But that's it. That's not enough. We have to have love, ahavat Yisrael. We have to give people time. Listen to their problems. Somebody's phone rings. You see on the other line who's calling. You think in your mind, oh, that guy, there's no way I'm picking up for him. He bugs me all the time. Is that crowning him king? Yes, we can't always answer the phone. Yes, we're very busy. But what's the feeling? He's a Jew. He needs me. Where's the hargasha? This one is too sloppy for me. This one's unkempt. We need to learn patience. The Vilna Gaon writes, Ikar ha'adam ba'olam letaken et hamidot. The main purpose of man in this world is to work on his character. Show people a happy face. Be warm. Don't push them away. Feel their pain. Somebody called me the other day. He said, I can't take my job anymore. I said, why? He said, my boss keeps yelling at me and talking down to me. How do we treat our employees? They're not our slaves. He's a Jew. You also have to answer to him. Himlachta et haberecha. Did you make him feel special? How do we talk to our spouses? The Mesilat Yesharim writes at the end of Perek Yutet, V'chol ma she'adam magdil ahavato liYisrael. The more love you show other Jews, Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magdil Alav Ava, Hashem showers us with more love. Why did Hashem love our leaders? Because they were all Moser Nefesh for His people. When a Sadiq sees somebody in trouble, his first reaction is, I have to pray for him. Let me say some Tehillim. Let me do something. Sometimes we could end years of what we thought was a fight with one smile, with one hug. I thought, you thought, he thought. Life is too short. Don't wait. We have to become people who bend. You be the one to end it. I just read a story. There was once a machloket in a shul. The shul got a new air conditioning system that was very noisy. And they told the hazan, you have to raise your voice. We can't hear you. The hazan tried the next Shabbat. They still couldn't hear him. They said, if you can't raise your voice, we have to find somebody else. He says, you can't do that to me. I'm your hazan for 20 years. Change the air conditioning. He said, we invested in it already. We need the air conditioning. And they were had a machloket. They went to the Hazon Ish for advice. Who is right? The Hazon Ish said, I don't know who is right. You both have good claims. But I'll tell you one thing. My entire life, I never saw somebody give in and lose. And he started to give them a class about being mevater, about giving in. So the Hazan said, Rabbi, I'll give in. That Hazan had a very hard life. His daughter never had children. His son was sick for life. And after he gave in, his daughter had a baby. His life was filled with beracha. His son got better. His fortunes changed. That's the koach of being mevater, of giving in. People have religious differences. It's expected. It's okay. Shivim panim la Torah. But sometimes it leads to the deepest sin'ah. I can't even stand next to that guy. Why do we hate him? Because of Hashem's honor. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem's honor is Yisrael asher becha et pa'ar. Sometimes we see people doing things beneath our standards. We might think, this one, he thinks he's religious. The Shomer Emunim writes, today, when it's so difficult to be religious, we need to kiss the hands and feet of anybody involved in trying to keep Torah and Mitzvot. Do we have any idea what's going on in people's lives? You see this one walk into shul late, this one does this, this one does that. Do you know what's going on in his life? How many people out there, they look happy. You see people in the street, they look so happy. And then you hear them on the phone crying about the sarot lo aleinu that go on in their lives. For that person to walk into shul late, with everything going on in his life, and still say, Amen, Yeheh, Shemer, Abba, Mevarach, and crown Hashem King, that is enormous. We have no idea what he is accomplishing. Before Rabbi Akiva became religious, he used to hate the rabbis. Why? Because he thought they looked down at him. He was an Am HaAretz. He thought the rabbis looked down. But then he saw our religion preaches exactly the opposite. The greater the rabbi, the more kavod he gives you. Avraham Avinu loved everyone. The Igeret HaRamban writes in a letter to his son, whenever you see another person and come into contact with them, you have to feel that he is better than you. Feel that he's better than you. How could he be better than me? This guy's Rasha. You know what he does? But you don't know what's going on in his life. You don't know all the turmoil. You don't know what's happening with his children. Whatever he does, maybe he could be unbelievable. Feel that he's better than you. Fixing our midot is the key to happiness. People live with so much deep-rooted ill feelings and it just bothers them so much. If you would be the one to be mevater, you'll bring blessing into your life and you'll be happy. That brings shelemut in serving Hashem, and that's how we crown Him King. Of course, we have to be religious in every other area. And in our days now, when we're in the ikbeta de Mashiacha, and it's so dark, and it's so hard to see Hashem, everything we do is so valuable. And because it's so difficult, our generation is going to be the one that produces the Mashiach. Rabbi Yeruham Levavitz writes, when the darkness is the strongest, that is when Mashiach will come. Lechaora, it would have been better for Mashiach to come maybe in Sifat during the times of the Arizal, when all the people were kadosh, learning, praying, fasting. Maybe he should have come Bizman Harishonim, maybe during the Tanaim. But says the rabbi, no. Hine bo yavo bedor hoshech. He's going to come in the generation of darkness. And when he comes, this is going to be the head of all generations. And who is Mashiach? Maybe he should be one of the greats from yesteryear. Not so. He will be one of the members of the generation in which he comes. And he will be considered the greatest one in history, like it says, Ram v'nisa v'gava, Ram me'avot ha-kedoshim, Nisa afilu mimoshe Rabbeinu. He will be born during our times because Hoshech could produce the greatest Or. Any light that we could produce for Hashem is so precious. Whatever we do, Hashem comes and says, Posel ani et kol orot shebaolam. I disqualify all of my lights. All I want is yours. If we would take to heart how much He cares about us, how much He loves us, we will run, like the Zohar writes, like a lion roaring with ahava to fulfill His will. We will run to produce lights. And Be'ezrat Hashem, all of our little lights combined will produce the great Oro Shel Mashiach. B'mehirah B'yameinu Amen.